Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. This is God's word. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, that you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you've come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again. "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again, he spoke to him, what if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There are multiple sermons in this passage, and we're going to try and do the whole chapter in one message, so buckle your seatbelt. First of all, when Abraham looked up, what he saw was 3 men. That doesn't mean that that's exactly what was there. It means that's what he saw. He saw 3 men. But please notice, we are introduced to what he's seeing in verse 1, the first phrase. The Lord appeared to Abraham. And here's what it looked like. The Lord appeared, but the Lord appeared and Abraham saw 3 men. Now, 2 of those were angels who go on down in the next chapter to Sodom and Gomorrah. But one of those was the Lord himself appearing as a man. Abraham at first doesn't recognize, apparently, that this is the Lord when it speaks there of his saying, you know, I'm your servant and so forth. That was good hospitality in the Middle East. As the conversation continues, the Lord reveals who he is. And when the other 2 proceed on to Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham remains standing before the Lord, and the 2 of them have this marvelous conversation in which Abraham attempts to wheel and deal with God. But the first thing I want you to see is that we are to be careful about how we perceive what is around us, because God showed up at Abraham's door. And Abraham simply showed hospitality and then discovered the one to whom he was ministering, the one to whom he was showing hospitality, was the creator of the universe. When God begins to speak to him and gives him again the promise that he'd already given him that Sarah is going to have a child, Abraham knows at this point who he's dealing with because God says that he's the one who's going to do it. Nothing is too hard for him. And so he reveals himself. But how do you know if it's God? What if somebody came around today claiming to be God incarnate? Jesus says there are going to be many people like that in the last days. There are going to be people who are going to come along and they're going to claim a new revelation. They're going to claim to be somebody they're not. They're going to do signs and wonders, and eventually the whole world is going to fall under the spell of a man who will set himself up in the place of God. And there will be a one-world government and a one-world economy, and anybody who doesn't receive the mark of the beast will not be allowed to transact business. And at that point, all the mammon worshipers will have a very obvious choice, and that is you take the mark of the beast so that you can keep on doing what matters to you most. And that is keeping yourself comfortable and trying to get ahead in this world. And let me tell you something. If that's what you're living for, you're going to fall for it and you're going to burn in hell. And I don't want that to happen to any of you. I want you to be so devoted to Jesus Christ that you will see the difference between the one who conquered death, the one who gave his life so that you could be forgiven and made new, and the false messiahs of this world. But you need to be determined to know the truth if you really want to know the truth. You can't be half-hearted about it. Yeah, I want to know what's right, but you're not sure you want to do it. You're not sure you want to follow through. It's just, it would be good to know. I'd like to make up my own mind, and I want to have as much data as possible. Yeah, I want to know what the Bible says, because, you know, that might be true. No, this is true. And you need to be passionately devoted to God and His Word, or you will fall for the delusions that are going to be sweeping this planet.
Folks, it's a great privilege for me to be able to come each evening and bring God's Word on these stations. I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that. But if you listen regularly, you know that my life day-to-day is involved in trying to minister to kids who come from very difficult situations. I want to ask you to please help us. Contact us at wvr.org and find out how you can be part of the miracle. wvr.org. Please help us. Help these children.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you'll also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
Now, when Abraham looked up, he saw three men, verse 2, standing nearby. And when he saw them, he hurried to meet them and bowed low to the ground and asked them to please stay so that he could serve them. Let me get you something, verse 5, to eat, so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you've come to your servant. Very well, they answered, do as you say. I would like to preach a sermon on that part of verse 5. If you want a takeaway to put on your mirror, if you want something that, you know, what's the main point? Well, this is one of the main points. Do as you say. God said to Abraham, do as you say. You know what? God always does as He says. God's promises are not empty. When God says, I'm going to do something, God does what He says. And you and I are supposed to be like Him. Do as you say. It matters. Don't say, yes, I will, and then not follow through. Don't say, you can count on me, and then disappear. Don't say, I'll give it, and then not give it. When God says to Abraham, do as you say, that is a word to us. We need to do as we say. If we say we're going to do something, we need to do it. Amen? Verse 6, so Abraham hurried into the tent. How old was this guy? He's 99 years old. Look back at verse 2. He hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. Verse 6, Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said to his old wife. Okay, this woman's 90 years old. He says, quick, get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. And she didn't say, why should I? What are you always inviting people for? She did it, okay? And they hurried, they're working hard, they're working fast. Do you know how to do that, or are you like a turtle everywhere you go?
Okay, I'll go.
Move! Put some speed in your step, get there, hurry, go! You'll have a better life if you don't spend it all in first gear. All right? Get a move on. Quick, he said, do this, get going. we've got to, now that doesn't mean that all the time we're constantly in high gear, hyper, okay? But you definitely learn that there are some times when you need to get going, get moving, get things done, right? Abraham knew how to do that. That's a good trait. We can learn. Sarah gets right to work. Quick, he said, do this. Verse 7. I'm not making this stuff up. This is right here in the text. Then he ran to the herd. Do you see that? Verse 7. I mean, you say, Pastor Wood has the most peculiar emphases. No, it's in the text. He hurried, he hurried, he ran. This matters. God put it in there. He could have left that out. He could have just said, then he went. He didn't. He said, then he ran. Why? Because then he ran. He's in a hurry. He's eager to do God's will. He wants to do it now. He's not delaying. He ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. Do you see that? He hurried to, he didn't just prepare it. He hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared, and he set these before them. And while they ate, he stood near them under a tree. He didn't eat with them. He's serving them. He's hurrying to serve. Is that your attitude about service? When you've got something to do and it's not for you, it's for somebody else, do you hurry to get it done? Eager to make it happen? Wanting to make this come to pass? That's what's happening here. He is not saying, I got to have some fast food because I am really hungry. He's saying, we've got guests. Let's do everything we can. Let's hurry up and get this done because we want to make it as good as possible for our guests. And it turns out it wasn't just three men who were there with Abraham. It was the Lord and two angels. Wow. Wow. Imagine if you found out after the fact that that's who you had as a guest. I remember some years ago, Bill and Gloria Gaither pulled into the property with another famous celebrity in the back seat. And I mean, they just kind of wandered into the place. Here are two people, Bill and Gloria, whose music contributions revolutionized worship music for much of the world for decades. I mean, they not only wrote songs that made an impact on others, but they launched other artists and helped introduce their music. And I mean, it's amazing the impact that they've had. They were here on the property. We hadn't invited them. I just happened to recognize them. They came in here and they were trying to find Cade's Cove. So we got to have them up at our house, visit with them a little bit. It was really nice. Let me tell you something. I have a better, more wonderful, more famous guest with me in my house every day. In fact, we love him so much we've turned the whole house over to him. It's Jesus. And he's right here, right now. What Abraham experienced occasionally when the Lord would appear to him, those who are in Christ Jesus have far better every day, because God isn't just with us. He's within us. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God Almighty is living in you. It doesn't get better than that. I've met all kinds of celebrities in my life, all kinds. I mean, athletes, musicians, business tycoons, all kinds of folks. Let me tell you something. What the world considers celebrity, nothing compared to God. Nothing compared to God. All the people who are famous today, 100 years from now, not going to be famous. People who think right now they're the hottest thing, the biggest thing, it's all going away. We are like flowers that fade. So understand what really matters is what you do in relation with the Lord. That's what counts. I said we're going to try and get through this whole chapter this morning. There is no way that is happening. But I want you to understand something. We should be eager to serve the Lord. It should energize us, the opportunity to do what we do as unto the Lord. Paul says in Colossians, know that you are serving the Lord Christ. It is the Lord Christ that you serve. That's the way we're to live. That's why we do what we do. Well, I sometimes feel like the people I'm serving just don't appreciate it. They may not, but God does if you're doing it for Him. If you're doing what you're doing for the Lord, then you'll have the energy to keep going. He will give you strength. So, He stood near them under a tree in verse 8. And then they said to Him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" "There in the tent." Then the Lord said, verse 10, that's the first time that it becomes clear. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah heard that and did not believe it. She laughed about it. She thought, that's just, how can that be? Come on. And the Lord said to Abraham, verse 13, again, that's the second repetition. The first time is verse 10, the Lord said. Verse 13, the Lord said. Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" God is revealing Himself. "I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so what? So she lied. She lied and said, "I did not laugh," but He said, "Yes, you did laugh." Well, guess what? God knows. Now this is important, because if you look over at verse 21, the Lord says, "I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." Again, this is what's called an anthropomorphism, where God speaks in such a way that we will understand what that's about. An anthropomorphism, God appearing as a man, speaking as if He were a man. It is not that God really didn't know what was going on in Sodom. It's not as if God says, "Well, I've got to go check it out because I've, you know, from heaven it's too far. I can't see. I can't tell." God is speaking there as if He has to go investigate to find out. But God already knew. God already knew what He was going to do. God had spoken to Abraham previously about the sins of the Amorites not yet having reached their peak. God knew all about everybody, not just what's going on now, but what's going to happen in the future. But God speaks to Abraham in terms of, "I'm going to go check it out," so that He can have this conversation with Abraham about what is going to take place. But please understand, God knew what Sarah did when she was in the tent. And it doesn't say that when God said this, Sarah went, oh, "I'm sorry, I didn't laugh." Look back at what she did. Sarah, in her heart, laughed to herself as she thought, "Am I worn out? My master is old. Will I now have this pleasure?" It was not a loud cackle. It was a quiet, private thing in the tent. God knows the quiet, private things that happen in the tent. God knows what's going on in your house, in your room, in your heart, in your mind. God knows what's going on. God doesn't have to come and say, "Excuse me, I need to know what's going on here." God knows what's going on here. God knows everything. And the amazing thing is that knowing everything, God has chosen to save us instead of destroy us. That is grace, folks. And that's why it's a joy to serve Him. God grant that we would be joyful, energetic, tireless servants of the Lord Almighty.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a very short survey at WVR.org. Every week, we will draw a few names from those who take this survey. These listeners will be offered a free book of their choosing. Please visit our website at WVR.org and take our survey today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.